This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And good morning to you and yours. The calm before the storm, literally. It is DCR with you on February the 18th, 2021. But some news for you to know. No Chris Canty today. Chris has taken the day because he's going to be on Get Up, and he's preparing for that. So, Rick, you better have energy today. You better not let me down. You better bring it in a big way today.
5:30 bedtime last night, Dave. 5:30.
You didn't go to bed at 5:30.
No, I was close, though. I was thinking about it. 5:30, I was thinking about it. Just as we finished up dessert, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just shut it down right now.
Shut it down right now, huh?
Did
you give the Knicks game any time live last night?
Yeah, I watched the first half live. I could not sleep. You remember the commercial during the Super Bowl where they're around the campfire and they're eating, it looks like, you know, chili with hot peppers in it?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, like, the lady grabs her stomach and the hot pepper comes and drags her away because her heartburn is that bad?
Yes.
That's where we're at right now. That's where we currently stand. At some point during the show, a pepper may show up in my studio and drag me out.
Drag you out? Then I'd be solo. Nobody wants that.
You love solo. Stop it.
Oh, I mean, listen, I appreciate it, but I don't think anybody else is looking for me solo when we have the option of me and you today here.
No, this is going to be good, Dave. We got to hold down the fort. Now, Canty's going to, you know, give us some extra exposure on Get Up.
Well, that's going to be big.
It's huge.
That's big. So that, of course, is later this morning, but there's a lot to do. I mean, the Tatis story is very interesting, and they paid him through the nose, although the deal is probably a good deal for both. We'll get into that. The Mets and the projections there, right? We did a lot of Yankees yesterday. We'll do a lot of Mets today. I still believe, even as camp starts right now, that they have another move or two left in them, and Buster only going to join us at 7:30 this morning. Lot of NBA to get into as well. Lot of things for us to do. Let's start with, and by the way, and I'm not going to get into it now, but I will just tease it ahead. RJ Santillo told me something yesterday, which I didn't agree with. I went back and did my due diligence, and I agree with even less now than I did then. So I'll tell you that a little bit later on during the course of the show. And it's movie related, too. It's not like one of these ridiculous, nerdy sports things. It's a legitimate movie conversation, which we'll get into a little bit later as well. But the Knicks last night, you did a good job going to bed at halftime, because the second half was an unmitigated disaster for the Knicks. They looked terrible last night.
No, I got a taste of that this morning. I watched the second half this morning. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, offensively, they weren't good at all. I mean, I think it was, what, 7.5 minutes they went without making a shot? It was 15 straight. I mean, I don't care how good your defense is. I mean, that third quarter, I mean, you score 14 points in the third quarter. I mean, and you could tell. I mean, the fact that they weren't making shots, you know, how it affected them, you could just see, I mean, the fight being dragged out of them. I wouldn't be surprised if the front rim in Orlando is warped or bent with how many shots we missed short last night.
They were terrible. And they came out good last night, too. I mean, Randall was, again,
awesome.
Lights out, right? He was sensational in the first quarter. And they had a double-digit lead. You're like, oh, my God, they're going to do it again. And then it just, I mean, last night was the first time that I've seen, Rick, that they just, the bench guys who we've come to really rely on were dreadful. I mean, Quickly and Rose were a combined, what, 2 for 22? That's horrendous.
Yeah, 2 for 22. I mean, Quickly's only made bucket was a dunk. I mean, that was it. That's all he did. I was actually surprised they stayed with him as long as they stayed with him, because Payton wasn't bad last night. I mean, Barrett, Payton, and Randall were really, I mean, offensively, the best three guys you had last night. And, I mean, they kept, R.J. Barrett eventually got back, you know, late in that game. But, I mean, the advantage for the Knicks has been, you know, all of a sudden you bring in that bench with Quickly and Derrick Rose in the backcourt, and they've been great together. And I mean, that's been a huge factor in these wins. And unfortunately last night, I mean, they offensively were
terrible.
Really bad. Yeah.
I mean, listen, in the grand scheme of things, it's okay, right? I mean, you're not pleased. It's a game that you looked at and you said, we have a really good chance to win this game. I mean, Orlando's a team that you think you're better than. Cole Anthony not even playing in that one. But, I mean, it's not like the Knicks are great. You're going to have moments where you just, you know, you lay an egg. And that was last night. Now, what you hope doesn't happen is this kind of spirals and rolls downhill. And now, I guess the game against the Spurs is not going to happen, right, on Saturday.
Nope.
So the next game is now Sunday. So you have days off against the team. Then on Sunday now, you expect that you should have a good chance to win that game against Minnesota.
Yeah, but that's why that game yesterday was so important. I mean, just as a player, like me looking at that game, you get a chance to get to 500. It's a team you should beat. I mean, you're the best defensive team in the NBA going up against the worst shooting team in the NBA, right? And now all of a sudden, because that Spurs game gets postponed, you don't play till Sunday.
Right.
So now you have 3 days off. You can actually practice. I mean, as a player, now you lose this game, you got that flight home, and I have to now deal with this for the next 3 days before we get a chance to redeem ourselves on Sunday. It sucks.
It does. I mean, listen, I'm not making excuses, but it's not like the Knicks are a great team. I mean, the Knicks are a good team, and yes, you're right. I mean, that was a game last night they had circled. You said, we can win this game. And in fact, maybe it was a we should win this game. And you felt like that after the first quarter, and then the wheels kind of fell off. And I didn't even think, I know offensively they were not good, but Orlando had so many wide open looks last night. I didn't think the Knicks were very good defensively.
No, I think defensively, I mean, that's not what you're used to seeing, but when you shoot as poorly as they shot, especially in the second half, I mean, they were 12 of 48, and they had open looks. They just couldn't make shots. I mean, they're missing a lot of shots short. I don't care how hard you think you can play. Like when offensively you struggle the way they struggle, it's tough to play great defense. It is.
Yeah, that was a big time struggle. So let's hear from Julius Randle. Julius, was it just one of those nights last night?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a great opportunity for us, and we just didn't have it for whatever reason it might be. So you just kind of chalk it up and look at the film, see how we can correct it. And, we got a good one on Sunday? Sunday we play a good one on Sunday to get. So just got to move on.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think that's the right attitude. You laid an egg. You didn't play well. Nobody's going to defend them. I mean, they didn't play well. They were awful last night against Orlando, a team that's not very good, to look like that. I mean, really, in essence, when you look at it, they kind of got blown out in that second half of that game last night.
What do you mean kind of? They scored 33 points in the second half. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And Vucevic offensively wasn't great.
No. And he's the guy that always kills you.
Always kills you. I mean, rebound, like you miss Mitchell Robinson clearly. I mean, especially, I mean, the Magic, 11 offensive rebounds. I mean, too many turnovers from the Knicks. And the best line of the night, though, was Clyde going, when Bacon hit a three, sizzling Bacon.
Yeah.
He's the best. Clyde is the best, though, man. I love listening to Clyde. He cracks me up every single game. Even if it's a bad game.
He's awesome.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. He's amazing. And I don't think you're going to get, and this is the reason that I don't panic about it, how many nights are you going to get where Rose and Quickley as a duo are that bad? I mean, really, when you look at it, that's the advantage the Knicks have against all these teams, right, is when you look at the second unit that they're able to put out there offensively, they're as good as anybody because they have a backcourt that can score. I mean, Rose and Quickley as a combination can really score. And last night, I mean, there's no two ways about it. They were absolutely dreadful in that game.
Yeah, they were awful. I mean, again, I mean, Quickley's been, I mean, offensively, I mean, he's one of the guys you're relying off coming off that bench. He makes one shot, it's a dunk, that's it. I mean, you got Derrick Rose airballing threes. I mean, it was just they were off. And the problem with that second unit is they're not as good defensively as the starters.
Right, so they have to be able to score.
They have to be able to score. So they pass over. I mean, the Knicks starters hand off an 11-point lead, and the bench proceeds to lose, now all of a sudden loses the lead. And then, I mean, you still have the lead going into halftime, and then that third quarter happens.
Yeah,
and then
it's disaster. Absolute disaster. Here is IQ on his, let's be fair, on his probably his worst game as a pro, on his bad night last night.
I try not to just base my game off shooting. You work hard and do whatever you can do, but at the end of the day, you just try to do what you can do to help your team win. I don't feel like individually I didn't do that. Together, as a team, we could have been better. Orlando's a great team. You got to give them credit. They're a team that's, just like us, scratching and fighting to, try to make the playoffs. So, individually, you just look in the mirror and move on to the next game and just try to be better next game.
So I love Quickley, and I think he's terrific. Is this just the pat line now that when you play someone, you have to say they're a great team? I mean, don't you lose a little credibility when you come out and say Orlando's a great team?
Yeah, I don't love that.
I mean, I think what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they lost 16. I mean, what are they lost 16 in the last 20?
What are they, like, 10 and 18? I mean, listen, you want to say they outplayed you? Fine. You want to say the players that don't typically play well played really well? Fine. You want to say they played a really good game last night? Fine. To sit here and tell me that Orlando's a great team, everything else you say in that soundbite, at least to me, Rick, loses a little credibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I all of a sudden zone out. Like, I can't take what you're saying seriously. Because that mindset has to change. Like, if you're the New York Knicks, where you're at now, you can't look at the Orlando Magic, especially the way they're playing, and think they're on the same level. You can't. This is a team that you should have beat last night.
It is. And that's a game that you put your head on the pillow and you got to be disappointed that you lost. And now, again, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. I mean, you could have gotten back to 500. I understand why you'd be upset. But you're the Knicks. You're not great. You're a team that's up and coming. But I think you have to be disappointed that you lost it. And to have this mindset of that's a great team on the other side, I mean, that makes no sense. That's not a great team. That's the opposite of a great team in Orlando.
No, I mean, they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. And I mean, the fact that the best player didn't kill you offensively, it was more, I mean, you know, Ross had a big game. Fournier made some big shots. But I mean, that's, as a player, now all of a sudden you have, and Thibs is your coach, and you could tell last night, I mean, in the second half,
he was pissed.
So now all of a sudden I got 3 days of practice that we're going to have to deal with this, which I'm sure Thibs looks at as a positive, like just now he can all of a sudden reinforce his message. But, I mean, as a player, you're flying home going to yourself. I mean, this is a huge missed opportunity.
Tremendous.
500, now, and now all of a sudden we don't play till Sunday? I mean, that would have been great.
And yeah, you no, it would have been. You'd have been 500. You would have looked at it and said, we have a chance to get above 500. Because you love your chances against Minnesota. You would have won last night, but it gets away. And it is frustrating. Now, I don't know if you saw this on the post game last night. I mean, I think it's legitimate, and I know that he does deeply care. But I was watching this and thinking to myself, boy, what an amateur here. And that is Alan Hahn with the remote control. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
So I guess Alan became so frustrated last night, he broke his remote control, and he made a big deal about it on the post game show. I could write a PhD class in remote control breaking. There was a time that I used to walk into the remote control store on 23rd Street in New York City, and I was like Norman Cheers, Rick. They'd be like, hey, Dave, how you doing? I'd be like, good. Listen, I need the T28. Let me just get that. So they actually used to charge me for one, but give me four back in the day.
You were the guy. I mean, that's your loyal customer.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I would walk in, they'd be like, hey, Dave, how you doing? I'm like, good. Yeah. It was on 23rd. It was a Time Warner store on 23rd Street, I think between 2nd and 3rd. And I used to go all the time. I broke so many remotes. I actually had the police come up one night. The police knocked on my door and they said, a remote control just hit the ground. Did you throw it out the window? Now, what floor do you think we lived on?
High floor. You're bougie like that. High floor.
26.
26th floor, yeah.
So I got so angry.
Why would you throw the remote out the window?
I got so angry one day, I just opened up the window and threw the remote out. And they brought up this remote control. So this is how obvious it was. They walk into the building. They said, a remote just came flying out the window. Do you have any idea who it might have come from? And the doorman's like, 26B, go check that out.
Yeah, that's Dave Rothenberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that must have been 26B.
Took the treadmill and I smashed it into the window.
The police knock on the door. I open it. I'm like, oh, my God. And the officer, you know, this is New York City. There's crime to be fighting. He's knocking on my door and he's saying, excuse me, did you throw this out the window? And I didn't lie. I was honest. I was like, I did. I had a moment and I did. He's like, why would you do that? And I was like, I don't remember the game. I was like, yeah, the Giants just gave up a 3rd and 13 and I lost it.
Tell me that's not a Seinfeld episode. That would 100% be a Seinfeld episode.
Nothing I can do.
Yeah,
first
that actually hit somebody as like a pedestrian as they're walking by.
No, but Rick, they would have died.
You're no better. Listen, and you're the one that criticizes the poor lady that's trying to feed the pigeons that throws bread out her window. You're no better than she is.
Well, listen, I don't think those are comparable. This is a woman that is, it's different. She's not going to kill anybody, but what she does is really bizarre.
Well, what do you mean kill somebody? I have breadcrumbs falling on my head as I'm walking into the studio. I got a flock of pigeons.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
My face.
It's not good. You're lucky I'm here with you today. I mean, if that remote control or any of the ones that eventually made their way onto the 26th Street, if they would have hit someone, I'd be imprisoned right now.
30 for 30.
Right.
How the once promising career of Dave Rothenberg went sideways.
He used to use the previous button like a master.
I don't understand that mindset. Why break your own stuff? I don't get it.
Because I would get so upset.
Yeah, but why? But now, like, once that wears off, now all of a sudden you got to go to the store. You got to get a new remote. Or these people that break, like, will just walk up into their, like, beautiful TVs and just smash their TVs.
That goes a little bit far. I agree with you. But you never had the moment where you would let in a bad goal and break your stick?
Yeah, I would break my stick, but it's not, I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. This is me. Yeah, you're right. I'm a hypocrite because that was the most trouble. Well, there's been many times. I mean, my dad.
See, as you reflect, now you realize you're just like me. You're just on the ice.
Well, no, that was like between when we did the fireworks and my dad ended up, you know, shooting himself in the face with a Roman candle. He was pretty mad at that. But when I played in high school in Boston, I asked for Christmas. I said, can I please, 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 please have these custom made sticks? Because my favorite goalie had the same kind of sticks and they were expensive. And, I mean, no one at that time had. I mean, you're not getting custom-made sticks to your name on them. So my dad, I mean, because I begged him, he got me custom-made. They were beautiful, too. Black and red, name on them, gorgeous sticks. And, of course, I proceeded, like, three straight practices to let a couple bad goals. So I was just breaking the sticks like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
Dude, he was so mad.
I'm sure he was.
So mad.
See? That's my remote control. So I laughed last night when I saw Alan, like, a little piece chipped out of his remote. And he's like, this is how angry I was. And I was just like, come on. Stop.
I'm not Don LaGreca.
Look at this garbage.
Stop. A little piece of the remote control broke.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
I guess Alan became so frustrated last night he broke his remote control and he made a big deal about it on the postgame show. I could write a PhD in remote control breaking. There was a time. I actually had the police come up one night. They walked into the building. They said a remote just came flying out the window. Do you have any idea who it might have come from? And the doorman's like, 26B, go check that out. Knocked on my door. And they said, a remote control just hit the ground. Did you throw it out the window? And I didn't lie. Honestly, I was like, I did, Giants. Just gave up a 3rd and 13 and I lost it.
Tell me that's not a Seinfeld episode. Hit like a pedestrian.
Rick, they would have died. I'd be imprisoned right now.
This is DCR.
30 for 30. How the once promising career of Dave Rothenberg went sideways.
The previous button like a master.
On 98.7 ESPN.
And welcome back. The 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. No Canty today. He's doing Get Up starting at 8. He'll be back with us tomorrow. You know, I hear the retelling of that story of the remotes, and yes, it's funny, and no one was injured, so, it doesn't have this horrendous ending. But the thought of how careless, Rick, that was, that I was throwing, and it was like for sport, throwing remote controls out the window in my younger days is very concerning.
Very concerning. Troubling, to say the very least. I mean, you should seek help. I mean, in all honesty, you should seek some kind of counseling.
Yeah, it's not good. But I always remember
need
my
definite
roommate.
Help.
My roommate, like it was like old hat for me. He'd be like, "Oh, come on again! I can't change the channel on the TV."
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be your roommate.
Monster.
He wasn't even like, "Look what you've done." I mean, you almost hit someone on the street. How dangerous, in fact, this was. He was just like, "Now I can't, you know, go back and forth from two games."
He enabled you, is what he did.
I don't know that it was enabled. He
what
was
do you
just
mean?
Kind of
something he just dealt with. Oh,
he just threw his hands
up.
He's like, you know what? This is what I have to deal with. Why should he have to fix me? He's a guy in his early 20s.
I'm not saying fix you,
me.
But maybe if all of a sudden now he takes a stand and says, you do this one more time, you're going to be paying for this apartment by yourself, maybe you change a little bit. But
yeah,
no.
Maybe. I could have dealt with some tough love a little bit more along the way, I think.
Hey, you were pampered. I mean, I saw how your mom treated you at the Dave Rothenberg day. I saw how she treated you.
But that was Dave Rothenberg day.
I know, but I could just tell. You coddled. You were little Dave, the young one, the youngest one.
I'm the baby.
I know. How much they learn. You act like a baby. That's the problem.
You think so?
What do you mean, do I think so? You just told the story how you actually, on the 26th floor in New York City, you opened your window and threw a remote control out the window. And by just sheer luck, didn't strike a pedestrian.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I didn't
hit
anybody.
Right.
But just because I have a moment of immaturity doesn't mean necessarily that I'm a baby.
It's not one moment. I mean, We could spend the next 2 hours talking about moments in your life.
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I get it. You're right. What do you want me to tell you? I'm immature.
You pushed. I mean, you pushed the treadmill through the window.
Yeah, and I blamed it on the cleaning woman. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you broke your wedding DVD.
I did.
You left the house for a couple days because you were upset your team lost.
True.
I mean, do you want me to stop?
No, I think that's enough. I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window. Yeah. Took the treadmill and I smashed it into the window. Any idea how that happened? I was like, I think the cleaning lady did it, yeah.
No, I didn't even take the blame for it. You blamed the poor cleaning lady.
Well, yeah, of course.
What do you mean, yeah, of course?
Well, I didn't want to get yelled at.
Now, this poor woman probably almost got fired because she broke the window.
I don't think so.
You don't even know?
No, of course I don't know. I know that she was back for weeks after that.
As far as you know, you probably don't even know. It could have been someone completely different, and you would just be like, oh, that's the same.
Oh, my God. It's an accurate point. It's a fair point. We'll hear from Aaron Boone in just a moment. This Tatis contract, I kind of love what the Padres have done. It's risky, but he's the face of your franchise. You're locked in. $24 million a year for the next 14 seasons. What's your take on this? I kind of like it.
Well, I mean, what's my take on it? You're talking about someone that signed a 15-year contract. I mean, this is both sides get what they want. Now, the team assumes all the risk because, I mean, God knows. I mean, this guy hasn't even played a 462 games yet, and you're giving him a 14-year deal worth this kind of money. I mean, he gets the financial security that he wants, so he doesn't have to worry about it. And now, I mean, you're talking about not only being the face of the Padres. I mean, he's one of the faces of baseball, period, Dave.
Yes. When you think of young star, because Mike Trout's not a young star anymore. When you think of the young star in Major League Baseball, you think of Tatis. I think of Juan Soto. Am I missing anyone there? Those are the two guys that jump off the page to me.
Acuna,
yes, but he's already locked up. How good is that deal, by the way, now, huh?
How good does that deal look? I mean, it looks ridiculous.
What did he get, 8 years at $100 million?
8 years for a hundo, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for this? To just take a – you're already sitting. Take a deep breath and be ready for this. So the Padres infield currently at the moment, it's Machado, Tatis Jr. at short, and you got Hosmer at first.
Hosmer, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to even add Kim. If Kim ends up being their starting second baseman. So without Kim, their infield is worth a total of $784 million.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Machado is one of the top seven highest paid players in baseball also, right?
Yeah.
When did the Padres become so flush with money that they can just go spend it like this?
Just spend it, man. That's the one place. First of all, San Diego was gorgeous. I mean, if you offered battle, I would stay in San Diego forever.
It is a great city.
I love going to different ballparks to watch games. That is one I have circled where I would love to go.
I've been there.
Yet.
It's awesome. You know what's so cool about it is so the stadium is basically in the heart of the city. So we stayed at the Marriott literally across the street. So we checked in, had lunch, hung out at the hotel for a little bit. I think the kids went swimming, walked across to the ballpark, watched batting practice. We went to a Padres Cubs game. I think it was Chris Bryant's like either his debut or very early on in his career, like first week or two. Watched the game. It's a beautiful ballpark. Game ends at, 10 o'clock, you're back in your hotel 8 minutes later. It is a great experience.
That sounds awesome.
I
would love
awesome.
To do that. That's one of my favorite. Listen, people want to complain about, how long baseball games are and everything. When you actually go to the baseball game, that's the last thing that goes through my mind, is this game's taking too long.
Unless it's interminable. Like, if you sat through a 4 hour and 43 minute game, you're like, oh my God. And you know what else hurts? When it's really hot. When it's oppressively hot. Right, but I agree with you. Like 3.5 hours of going to a game if it's 77 degrees is a great way to spend a day.
Yeah, but I think it's dependent on who you're with, too, though. I mean, that group we had at the tailgate, that game could have lasted 6 hours. I was having such a good time. And speaking of hot, I did get mocked at Wrigley Field one time. We were playing in the finals. So when I was playing in Bridgeport, we were playing Chicago in the finals. We had a couple days off in between games. So we bought a bunch of tickets and went to Wrigley. But we only had our suits. And this was...
You went to Wrigley in a suit?
I didn't know. We wouldn't make that mistake. But this is, I mean, you're talking about June, right? And if anyone's been to Wrigley, like if you're sitting in the sun in Wrigley, like it's hot. Yeah.
Yep.
So we went to Target and bought like, shirts, t-shirts and shorts. So like an idiot, rather than get like knowing, okay, we're going to Wrigley. It's probably going to be hot out. Like maybe buy some dark... you know, dark shorts. I bought like, you know that darker color of khaki?
Mm-hmm.
That if it gets wet, like you can clearly tell that it's wet.
So you were sweating down in the southern regions.
Yeah, I stood up to get a beer. Like the guy's coming down with the beers, and he's like, Bud Light. And I stood up and I was like, yeah, I'll take two Bud Lights. And I start getting mocked by the people I don't even know because I had so much sweat. Like it was like I went down a water slide. I was sweating so bad.
That's another great. You know what? If you can walk to the ballpark, it completely changes your experience. And you can do that with Wrigley Field as well.
Yeah, Wrigley, Fenway. I mean, actually, just think about where I went to school. I mean, BU was, I mean, I could walk from my dorm room to Fenway.
How cool is that?
Dude, forget that. I mean, Marathon Monday, when you go to BU, because the Marathon, I mean, they come running right by where our dorm is. So I got the baseball game. I think the baseball game starts at 11. So you go watch the baseball game and then the marathon. Oh, it's the best day
and
ever.
That's when the baseball game starts at like 11 in the morning, right?
Yes.
On Marathon Day?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great day.
That's yeah, case races with your buddies, you get all twisted up that day.
That's ooh, a heck of a day. But so would you agree that I mean, and how Acuña's not that young, is he? He's not 22.
No, Acuña's young. Acuña's 23.
Is he that young? Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So yeah, those are the three. Those are the three. Soto, Acuña, Tatis. At least as far as I can think of. Is there anybody else that's that young? How about the White Sox? Do they have anybody of that ilk?
White Sox not the same kind of personality. Luis Robert is really good, but he doesn't have the same kind. He doesn't have the kind of, like, Tatis is, like, he's got that extra, like, he's got what Francisco Lindor has. Like, he's got that magnetic personality. He's got that it. And he likes it, though. He likes the attention. Like, Mike Trout is all set with the attention.
You know, he was a member of the White Sox.
Did you see who they got him for?
Yeah, James Shields.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Because he was an elite prospect.
And they were just trying to dump Shields' money. The Padres.
Yeah, that's a tremendous win. I mean, you look at their offseason and compare it to the Mets, you could argue they've had the greatest offseason in the history of baseball with what they've added.
Dave, look at their rotation. They don't even have Clevinger in the rotation this year. He had Tommy John.
But you added, I mean, I don't think best pitcher in baseball, but one of the elite pitchers in baseball, and you lock up one of the great young players in all of baseball, and you solidified your bullpen, and you added more starting pitching. I mean, the Padres have had, it feels to me like the Padres have had the offseason that the Mets fans were hoping the Mets were going to have.
Yeah, that's what we expected. I mean, that's the offseason we expected. Here's the other thing to take into account, though, if you're a Mets fan. I mean, is Lindor going to get a huge, huge contract?
Well, now, he was going to anyway, and now you know he's going to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the only reason. I mean, you traded for him because you're going to sign him to a long-term deal. And then Conforto's going to get a deal, you'd imagine. And then you have to make a decision on Syndergaard. I mean, the Mets rotation could, I mean, if Syndergaard comes back, and I think he'll be back earlier than people realize, and is good, and you add Taijuan Walker, I mean, their rotation now all of a sudden is,
well, now it becomes
scary.
I mean, you argue about the best rotation in baseball. If you go DeGrom, and I'm not going in order, okay, but you go DeGrom, obviously he's going to be your one, and then however you want to go with it, Carrasco, Stroman, Syndergaard, right? You still have Lucchese. All of a sudden, that rotation becomes, you know, if you add Odorizzi or Taijuan Walker had a really good season last year.
Really good season. But, you know, and you're asking him to be your fourth or fifth starter? There wouldn't be no argument. I don't think there's an argument. I mean, that becomes the best rotation in baseball.
Yeah, from top to bottom, right? It may not be as top heavy as, say, the Nationals, but yeah, I think that becomes probably the best rotation from top to bottom in all of baseball. All right, Mets manager Luis Rojas has to say yesterday, and of course they kind of met the media and they get started today down in Port St. Lucie. They have work to do before they get where they want to be.
We know that this task is not going to be easy. I mean, we can talk about, you know, we're a contender. We can talk about World Series. We can talk about, but we need to do stuff. Knowing that or saying that is not doing that. And, you know, we need to go through a process, and we know it's going to be tough. You know, we're against a tough division, the rest of the teams in the league. So that's what we got to do. We got to prepare every day and sync our team, combine our team.
We talked about it yesterday with Aaron Boone and the pressure on him. And I think there is, and Cashman as well. We don't really know if we like Luis Rojas or not. This is an important season for him. I think he's got to prove himself this year with the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets have to do stuff, Dave. You got to about the process and doing stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be under some pressure just because this is not, I mean, new ownership. They didn't hire they didn't hire Luis Rojas. So I think this is going to be like, we know him. Like Sandy's familiar with him because he's been in the organization.
Right.
Let's give him a chance, and we'll see how he does this season with high expectations. I'm sitting here watching, I'm watching ESPN now, and it's, I mean, the Mets have some of the shortest odds in Vegas to win the World Series.
What are they, 10 to 1?
Plus 1,000.
Yeah. You see the Dodgers are 3.5 to 1 to win?
Huh. I mean, how can you not look at the Dodgers right now and say that? I mean, that they're loaded.
Loaded. But the Yankees are too. I mean, the expectation is that the Yankees are going to go to the World Series.
Well, because offensively, I mean, they're as good as it. I mean, they have one of the best lineups in baseball when everyone's right.
Absolutely, they do.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All right, you ready for the disagreement? Strong disagreement that one RJ Santillo, the producer of this show, and I had yesterday. And I sat down and I did my homework. So I don't know how, I guess it's the 25th anniversary of Happy Gilmore. And RJ said, what a great movie. He loves that movie. And then he went on to say this, and this really upset me. He said he believes that Happy Gilmore is a far superior movie, and he enjoys it much greater than Caddyshack. And that upset me to no end. So, Rick, because I am such a cinephile, I sat yesterday after my nap and watched Happy Gilmore. And actually, as I watched it, became enraged with RJ that he could utter words that this is a far superior and more enjoyable film than Caddyshack.
I see what you're doing now. You're trying to branch out. So what you're trying to do is now replace. Now all of a sudden you're adding Ann Virk, where you're going to be a cinephile. Now I get what you're doing.
I'm big movie guy.
Yeah, I mean, seize the opportunity. Here's what I'll say. I think RJ's younger than us. I mean, I'm younger than you, and RJ, how much younger are
you? He's a baby. He's like 28.
Yeah, I am 8 years younger than you.
Okay, so I can understand his take. I mean, Happy Gilmore is awesome.
Denying that Happy Gilmore is an excellent, enjoyable film with good cast of characters all littered along. Like, you get Ben Stiller is good in that. A lot of really good characters. But Caddyshack
is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I mean, Caddyshack goes down as one of the great movies that you've ever seen.
I could watch Caddyshack every single day. I like it that
much. So I know that you love RJ, and I know that you probably don't want to disagree with him, but I will ask you. Better movie, Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore?
For me, it's Caddyshack.
Yes.
But I can understand. But here's why I'll defend RJ.
So you think this is a generational thing?
Well, but it's also it's just your particular taste. Like, he prefers that kind of, maybe he prefers that kind of comedy as opposed to the comedy you get in Caddyshack.
So he prefers to a lesser brand of comedy than a higher brand of comedy.
Yeah, maybe more like in your face funny, as opposed to, I mean, and knowing some of the stuff too, like watching, have you seen like the in-depth stuff as far as how they made Caddyshack?
Oh,
it's great. And how much of that was just like off the cuff going back and forth?
I mean, Bill Murray was unbelievable. Well, it was amazing. I mean, Chevy Chase, you get Rodney Dangerfield. And listen, Happy Gilmore has big stars. You know what I noticed in Happy Gilmore as I was watching the 90-minute viewing of it yesterday? Is that the grandmother, and I think you'll appreciate this, the grandmother in Happy Gilmore is the same woman that played the Marble Rye lady in Seinfeld, that Jerry rips away that Marble Rye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Same woman.
They're both great movies. Listen, they're both great movies. I would watch either one of those movies any day of the week.
I think it's generational. I think if you're 35 or older, you choose Caddyshack, and if you're under 35, you choose Happy Gilmore.
Dave, I told you when I got put on waivers and I went back down to Bridgeport, we were taking a bus trip, and I said, okay, who's in charge of the movies? Let's get something going. And they're like, oh, we don't really have anyone in charge of movies. I was like, all right, I'll get movies. I mean, have you guys seen Coming to America yet? And they're like, what's Coming to America?
Oh,
like,
but that's disgraceful. That's like, you should be imprisoned. If you haven't seen Coming to America, you have not done your job as a human being. And the parents have failed you there also.
How good was Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack? Let's
play. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, my arm is broken.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
So what? So let's dance.
Rodney Dangerfield is great. The judge is great. I mean, you got Chevy Chase. What's the one movie, and I can't even think of it off the top of my head, the one movie that you should have seen and you're embarrassed to admit that you haven't seen, though?
One movie that I haven't seen. You know how much I love movies. I mean, I can't even think of a movie that I haven't really seen because my father-in-law's got this, I mean, he's got his guy that gets him the movie. So we pretty much, I mean, we watch a movie. When I'm down in Florida, we watch a movie a night.
Love movies. But there's got to be like I'm sure if we went over the 50 greatest movies of all time, there would be a couple that you'd be like, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, but maybe intentionally, though. Like, there could be some movies that I intentionally just haven't seen. But, I mean, as far as, I mean, the classic ones that you feel like you're obligated to see.
Have you seen Casablanca?
No, see, that's one of those ones I really could care less to see.
But it's considered one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, but I just told you that. By choice, there's movies that I probably, that you would say I should see that I really have no interest in seeing. But, I mean, like, the ones that, like, I've seen all the Godfathers. I mean, you name movies like that, or sports comedies or comedies in general. I'm like, yeah, I'm into making sure I've seen all of those.
All right.
It's a good conversation to talk. I love, I mean, having
movies are the best.
Those are great conversations.
The best, the absolute best. All right, so I disagree. Now, RJ, quickly, before we get to the Steelers conversation, you stand by this, right? You think Happy Gilmore, better movie than Caddyshack?
Yeah, I'm going to say I enjoy both of them. I want that disclaimer out there. But yeah, if they're both on at the same time, Happy Gilmore. Not even thinking twice about it, honestly.
Oh, he loves Adam Sandler. Obviously, he loves Adam Sandler.
That's my guy.
But who doesn't love Adam Sandler? He's
apparently
universally beloved.
Not by you.
That's not true.
Where else are you getting that?
Hockey tryouts are 364 days away.
What's the movie where he's the Jets fan, where he like gets the kid?
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Another great movie.
I love that movie.
The kid names himself Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You're mad at your dad, not at me. I forgive you.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
How many we put Rob Schneider in the sleeper?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now that RJ's saying it, I'm going through my head with some of the...
One of those Happy Meals? You got a Happy Meal? Can we get a Happy Meal?
Well, somebody get the kid a Happy Meal!
He's great. Adam Sandler's underrated. He's a better actor than he gets credit for.
No, he's like when he like I mean Spanglish. He was good in Spanglish. Like when he has to play a serious character, he's good too. But I mean, some of the I'm just thinking about even what did I watch the other day? I watched Grown Ups. You know what the best part of Adam Sandler is? Like, there's times during a movie when you can clearly tell that he's having a hard time not laughing at what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wants to just break down and start. Like, I don't know how they even film a movie. Like, could you imagine being on the set of Grown Ups? How do you even film one of those movies?
Oh, with him and Kevin James.
Yeah, but he's got all his buddies are in the movie. Chris Rock's in that movie.
And Michael Caine, also one of the great comedy geniuses of our era.
I also watched, what was the one with, what's the one with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston called?
That was just on TV.
Where he's
That's not the one where they go like on it's like a murder mystery one?
No, not that one. The one where he's a plastic surgeon, I think, and she works for him.
Oh, I love that one. And what's her,
Brooklyn Decker's
Andy
in it.
Roddick's wife is in that one.
Yeah, Brooklyn Decker's in it.
Yeah. They go to Hawaii.
Just go with it. And it's got a happy ending because he falls in love. Then they all of a sudden he falls in love with Jennifer. I love movies like
There's a terrific bikini scene in that movie, by the way.
That was like the James Bond scene where she comes walking out of the ocean. Yeah,
yeah, a terrific bikini scene. All right. By the way, the poll is up. This is why these guys are so good, because I was thinking as we were having this conversation, I wonder if we should put a poll up. And at DCR and ESPN, the poll is up. Which movie do you prefer, Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore? I have no doubt that Happy Gilmore will win convincingly because the younger listener will appreciate that more. And right now, 46 votes in, 74% Happy Gilmore.
It's a different kind of comedy, though, too. I mean, Adam Sandler comedies are a little bit, I mean, those are like kind of like, you know exactly what you're getting when you sit down.
Yeah, you don't have to give a lot of thought to the Adam Sandler comedy. It's funny, it's quick, it's dumb, but it's good. He's great.
The Dangerfield lines in Caddyshack. Like, this is like when you do back at boys, kind of like, well, this is now I know why tigers eat their young. Give me five of these, six of these, some of these naked lady tea. Like, his lines in that movie are
absolutely
awesome.
Genius. Absolutely genius. All right, let's turn our attention to the Steelers, 800-919-3776. This is weird, because Ben has already come out and said he wants to play there regardless, doesn't matter about the money, he'll do whatever it takes. And then the GM of the Steelers yesterday, Kevin Colbert, came out and said, yeah, Ben's our quarterback for today.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ben's our quarterback as long as he's going to take half of the $41 million that we owe him.
Right, but he can't get paid $41 million.
No, he can't, but that's the contract he signed. So, I mean, now, here's the one thing about the whole Ben Roethlisberger situation that I'd be interested to really know is everyone was, I mean, they started off 11-0, right? And everyone's like, they're a fraudulent 11-0, which is fine. I mean, I understand what they were saying.
And you know what? They were.
No, they were. But let's also remember, too, the guy came off reconstructive elbow surgery on his throwing elbow. And he's not a young guy. Like, what did you expect to have happen as the season progressed? Was he going to get better or worse?
No, I don't have an issue with that. And I think they had a good year. I mean, they made the playoffs, right? They didn't the year before when he was out. They made the playoffs. They were a competitive team. They gave you a lot of good moments. And you know, they had a terrible game in the postseason against Cleveland. But I don't think they had a bad year. But it has to be understood that he's got to take a considerable pay cut. Let's take a listen. Here is Kevin Colbert from yesterday discussing Ben Roethlisberger.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He went with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself shortly after the season ended. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. We told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. You know, Art Rooney addressed that with Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we're not negotiating as we sit here and answer this question. Hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben. And hopefully he'll be able to see that and feel the same way we do. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done, not only with Ben, but just with the whole unrestricted free agent class and our whole cap situation as well.
I got to tell you, if I'm a quarterback in this league and I hear my GM or my head coach say that I'm the quarterback for today, I'm going to start looking for other jobs, because that could be the kiss of death.
Well, it's not the first time you've heard it, right?
No, you heard it with Jared Goff also.
Exactly right. I think different situation, though. I mean, this is the same GM, too, that was on record a couple years ago saying, I mean, that Ben Roethlisberger is the only adult in that locker room. So, I mean, you know how much the GM and Art Rooney love Ben Roethlisberger and how they would like the relationship to end on good terms. Because it didn't end. I mean, Terry Bradshaw still doesn't have a really good relationship with the Steelers.
Nope.
At all. So I think this is I just don't understand why. Like, all you do is leave the door open now for just speculation and conversation. Like, you could have just, you know, Ben's going to be our quarterback. We'll figure out the money. Like, I mean, it could have been that simple.
Yeah, I don't know why guys say stuff like this. I mean, because you know what the truth is, Rick? We're not discussing this today if Kevin Colbert doesn't come out and say this yesterday.
No, but it's almost like he's trying to gain the leverage now where, I mean, just making it clear that if, you know, don't be surprised if we move away from Ben or Ben's forced to retire because we couldn't get the money right.
But you created the storyline. Like, if you're the Steelers, we know what he's making. We know there's no way he can make $41 million this coming season. We already know that. That's known factual before we even start the discussion. By you making this a issue yesterday, you've now created the discussion and the storyline moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, now that you listen, how much do you want to be a Steeler? How much do you want to continue your career? How much do you want to end your career here as the Steelers? That's really what he's asking. That's the question he's asking right now from Ben. Like, how much less are you willing to take to stay here?
But he's already said. Like, what more do you, he said, I don't care. Now, whether you believe it or not, fine. But he's come out and done the right thing. He said, I don't care about the money. I just want to finish my career with Pittsburgh. That's what he said.
No, I know that's what he said. And that's why I don't understand why it was necessary to do what he just did.
I completely, completely agree with you. All right, real quickly before we get to observations, we'll do that in just a moment. Brooke Pryor, our NFL insider here at ESPN for the Pittsburgh Steelers on NFL Live yesterday, had this to say about Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
That $41.2 million cap hit is just untenable. If he retires or is cut, that cap charge gets cut in half, and Colbert is looking at the overall health of the organization and the kind of team they can field around Ben Roethlisberger. That is a major consideration as they negotiate his future, looking at what they could possibly afford with Ben or without Ben.
Yeah, listen, we all know he's not making $41 million next year. He will not be a member of the Steelers making that kind of money. There's no doubt about it. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. All right. Also, with Indeed, there's no waiting for real results. Indeed helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. Indeed searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately with Indeed Instant Match. 80% of employers get quality candidates right when they sponsor their job. So it's no wonder Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Claim your $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Without any further ado, it is now time for an observations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, David. A little Thursday edition of observations. I will just say this quickly with the Ben Roethlisberger situation, just an observation on that situation. This feels like one of those behind closed doors, like, okay, with owner, GM, you know, here's what we'll do financially for this season. I want to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then how do we make up on the back end when I do retire up for some of this money I'm giving up now? You know what I mean? Like, this is like one of those, like, once I'm done, like...
Yeah, then you take care of me in some way.
Like some kind of role with the Steelers.
Yeah. I'm you know, former player liaison at $11 million a year.
But what's their better option? That's the thing I don't understand. Like, what would their better option be? I mean, this is a team with that defense that feels like they have a chance to compete for a championship. Is there a better option?
No, probably not. I don't want to hear, by the way, at the end of observations, that I didn't leave you time when you're still spending time on this Roethlisberger.
Well, you stimulated me. You stimulated me. This is the whole point of the show.
The conversation can get very titillating. I understand.
All right, we'll start with this. So, I know you love tennis, Dave. Djokovic is a beast, by the way. Beast.
He just hammered his way to another finals.
One of our favorites, Serena Williams. How would you want to describe the loss to Naomi Osaka?
She got hammered by Naomi Osaka, to be fair.
Thoroughly dominated. Well, Osaka doesn't lose in these spots.
She's amazing.
She's that good. But it was pretty emotional for Serena after the match. She was actually asked if this was going to be her last appearance at the Australian Open, and this is what she had to say.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So
the unforced errors through the match. Considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
I mean, you saw how emotional. You could hear how emotional she was.
Yeah, it's kind of heartbreaking to hear her kind of lose it there.
Well, but it doesn't have to be the realization. I mean, she's at 23 now, and she's been so dominant. And now you're going up against someone that's way younger than you are.
And on top of it, now.
Well, yeah, but on top of it, I mean, physically, she's as... Like, she's, at this point, you're equal. Like, probably, she's better than you now. So, I mean, is there a real chance that now... I mean... How many more majors do you think Serena's going to win now?
I don't know that she wins any more majors, to be honest with you.
But you're talking about one of the most dominant athletes that we've seen.
She's the best player in the history of... You could argue she's the best player in the history of tennis, to be fair.
Here's another tennis question. When it's all said and done, does Djokovic win more majors than Federer?
Yes. Yeah.
I feel the same way. I hate to say that because I love
Federer. I don't know how you could say no. Because first of all, Federer's probably done winning majors. And if he has any chance, it's only at Wimbledon at this point. Djokovic can win any of the four.
Dude, he tweaked his... I mean, at one point they were talking like he tweaked his ab or his groin. And it's like nothing affects this guy.
No, he's like a machine. He is.
I'm not sure if you heard this story or not. And I kind of... Listen, I don't... I'm not opposed to this because I understand why you would do it because it does loosen you up. This is Joe Buck talking about how he used to occasionally have a drink to keep himself loose during broadcasts.
And I'll say this. We have had that glass of bourbon in the booth, although it's not bourbon. It's tequila, splash of Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. I went through a couple years where in the first inning of every postseason baseball game, I had the runner go get the biggest beer that the stadium sold. And I had it sitting there, and I would sip it from time to time to remind myself to relax and have fun. I'm just doing a game. And I brought that over to football, but because Troy is a man of finer tastes, beer somehow became tequila, Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. We haven't done it in a long time now, but it was good for a stretch. And I feel like it's a good mental trigger to just chill and remind yourself that you're not refueling an F-16 in mid-flight. You're doing a sporting event. And if you treat it like anything other than that, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I can understand why you would do it. I'm not opposed to it.
People are the worst. Have you seen the takes? I mean, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are drunk doing the games.
Stop.
They're alcoholics doing the games. Here's all I would ask. Have you ever watched a game that Joe Buck and or Troy Aikman or any of his baseball, whatever, that they're doing and thought to yourself, he's compromised because he's inebriated? Have you ever thought that? So who cares then? Really?
I'll tell you this, too, just from personal experience. Like when I used to do 7-10s with Alan, we'd go do live shows at bars, and they'd be sponsored by beer companies. So, I mean, you have a beer or two while you're doing it. I liked how I sounded way better when I was loosened up like that.
Now, the only thing I would say is that from Joe Buck's standpoint, maybe, and I don't even have a problem with this, maybe you don't have to bring that to the public light and say that because you know the critique that you're going to get.
Probably.
But this to me is a non-story. I can believe that people have freaked out over it, but I really can't believe that people have freaked out over it.
All right, couple quick observations quickly before we get to what happened in Florida.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel said this, even if I got an opportunity to go back to the NFL, I don't think I would take it.
He's lying.
He's lying. That to USA Today. It's ridiculous.
Win or lose, we booze on the Zappers.
Yeah.
Also, does it concern you that I actually have, through 14 games, I actually have, as a goalie, more points than your first overall pick?
Yeah, it does, to be quite honest with you. I saw that. Somebody tweeted yesterday, and I was like, oh, come on, tell me this is not true.
Yes.
You had 2 points through 14 games. Lafreniere has one. Yeah, I'm really, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on it right now, really concerned about the Rangers. They can't score if Panarin's not in the lineup. Kako, and I know the coach, every time I ask him, he's like, no, he's coming along. He looks good. I'm worried about him. I'm worried about Lafreniere. And I don't think they're very good right now. Yeah, I don't love where the Rangers sit.
All right, there you have it. That is a Thursday edition of Some Observations.
Naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
I was going to be responsible and just take this to break, but apparently we're doing Did It Happen in Florida, which is fine with me. Here we go. David, a convicted felon is wanted for theft after he allegedly stole a diamond engagement ring from his fiance to propose to a second woman after meeting both of them on the same dating website using two fake identities. 48-year-old man is wanted on a felony charge stealing $6,200 worth of jewelry from his girlfriend, including the ring he gave her, which also belonged to this woman's grandmother, to propose to a second woman that lived 30 miles away. Did this happen in Florida?
So, same bracelet, second woman, double engagement.
No, same engagement ring, not bracelet, same engagement ring. He stole the engagement ring.
But didn't he have any forethought to realize that the first woman might have noticed that her engagement ring was now missing?
Well, just that she just got robbed. She didn't realize that he stole it from her to go give it to another woman.
Yeah. Florida. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Florida. That sounds flirty. 30 miles away, so he took it. He drove to I think he goes from Orlando. He drives 30 miles north. He gives it to the new woman. He claims ignorance. Yes, Florida.
Santee, Florida?
It just sounds like it could happen anywhere, which is you're trying to do the old bait and switch here. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to say not Florida, but I don't feel confident in saying that.
You fell for it. This was obvious. Dave, you're right. This did, in fact, happen in Florida.
Yes,
well
it did.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
Yes, it did.
And there you go. That is a full Zoftic. An observation slash that
come
it happened
on. Florida. Really?
What?
That's K. That's what he says.
Well, that's why I said it.
You're better than that.
I was actually concerned.
Your own verbiage.
I was actually concerned I wasn't using it properly.
There you go. There's no way when you started speaking that the intent for you was to use the word zofting.
No, it wasn't. And then I was like, this would be a good time to use it. And I was like, am I saying this wrong?
I'm going to put you on the spot and you're going to probably yell at me for this. Do you have any idea what zofting means?
Zofting means like a full experience.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is my favorite guest, and I know that you're partial to Mike Tenenbaum, and that's fine. Let's bring him in now. The great, talented baseball savant, Buster Olney, joins us here on 98.7. Good morning, Buster. How you doing?
Good morning. I love how you immediately put your partner on the defensive.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is a genius move.
So I have to offer you congratulations, by the way. It was just brought to my attention. Rick, you don't know this, but you will be wowed by this stat from Buster. You were at the dentist yesterday and have never had a cavity in your life. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Wow.
But I got to tell you, I can't claim credit for it in terms of how I take care of my teeth. I think it's much more about the genes. Like at some point, they put iron and concrete in my teeth gene.
This is what happens, Dave. You grow up on a farm. He's drinking milk right out of the udder.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. All right. So we have a lot to cover with you today. Let's start with the Mets. They're reporting today. What makes a successful season for the Mets in your mind? Do they have to get in to be one of these five postseason teams? Do they have to win a wild card game and get into a full five game series? Like, what's your expectation right now for what the Mets need to do to make this a success?
That they contend for the National League East title, and yes, they get in. And one thing to keep in mind, it is possible that before the start of the season, we're going to see an agreement on expanded playoffs. You know, to this point, they haven't, but sources have told me this is something that's still on the table, and so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, and I think that, you know, Steve Cohen is going to be fully cognizant of that, which is why I think, you know, when Mets fans, talk about the team and what they've done this winter and you know, why didn't they wind up with another one of the big five players who are available, whether it's Real Muto or Springer or Trevor Bauer, I think they're going to be hyper-aggressive at the trade deadline, which is not something we've typically seen from Mets teams. And so the team they'll open up with today is not necessarily the team that you're going to see when we get to August 1st.
In all honesty, might be right around the time that the Major League Baseball announces the expanded playoffs by the trade deadline. Buster, do they realize they're killing the game? Do they realize, what they're doing to the game of baseball right now and what a clown show they look like doing this kind of stuff?
I think they're are all aware of it, and they blame each other. The owners feel like that the union leadership is completely intransigent. They don't bring ideas to the table. They're not willing to negotiate and look for middle ground. And the player association leadership really feels like that since the 2016 agreement that the owners have gouged the players. And the numbers certainly back that up in terms of where the salaries have gone. But it's brutal. The idea that, for example, everyone in the sport wants the universal DH, and the idea that that's not in place now is kind of laughable and speaks to the fact that two sides can't talk. The idea that we don't know for sure about how many teams are going to be in the playoffs now. And we didn't, if you guys remember, until Max Scherzer was warming up to start the first game last year, it tells you that, you know, the two sides really don't work well together right now. And it certainly makes you scared about what's to come next year when the CBA is up.
Buster Olney with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So let's look at the Mets a little deeper here. I think they had a good offseason. We had callers today saying, we thought they're going to get one of the big three, and that makes it disappointing. And I understand that that's a little disappointing, not getting Bauer, not getting Springer or Real Muto. But, I mean, you added one of the elite players in baseball in Lindor. So I think this was a good offseason. But where do you think they go from here? Because I'm still with the mindset, and I don't know if this is appropriate or not. I don't think they're done. I don't know whether they had another starter, whether it's someone out of the pen like a Trevor Rosenthal, whether they still make a trade for a Chris Bryant. But do you feel like this is the team they go to battle with just even on opening day, or do you think there are still moves to be made in the next 5 weeks?
No, I agree with you. There's still some free agents on the board. Rosenthal being an example. Jake Odorizzi still on the board. Taiwan Walker, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they take a shot. And then as players become available in spring training, as some of the teams really begin to earnestly lock down their payroll, I think the Mets will be in a position to do something. And it is interesting because there were such expectations when Steve took over as the owner of the team, and I know that some Mets fans are disappointed. This is going to be the highest payroll in club history. Their opening this year is the third highest payroll in the National League. That's not typical for the Mets. They've done a lot of stuff, and it's not only, you know, going out and adding Lindor, and I agree with you. I think he's one of the, you know, 5-10 best players in baseball, but it's the infrastructure, the Pilar, who's a good major leaguer. It's the VR, who's a good major leaguer. Trevor May to their bullpen. There's depth there that was not there in the past. And I, you know, the other day when they missed out, or last week when they missed out on Trevor Bauer, I had an executive in baseball say, you know, if they had gotten him, they would have been the best team in the National League East. And that's saying a lot considering what a good team the Braves are.
Yeah, okay. See, this is the problem. Again, Dave, this is why I love our guest, because he just said something that makes me want to ask a different question, but I had my first question lined up. So I'll ask my first question. In your opinion, Buster, because all we heard during the offseason was, you know, Realmuto, it was Bauer, it was Springer, and the Mets would probably at least get one, maybe two. And then how it played out was we signed James McCann, and I was of the mindset, okay, James McCann, he makes less than Realmuto, which gives us the flexibility to get someone like Springer, which, I mean, center field has been a glaring hole for the New York Mets. Do you think because they were strung along as long as they were strung along by Trevor Bauer, that played into the reason why they didn't go that, you know, that extra couple $X million with George Springer, thinking that they would get Trevor Bauer at the end of it?
No. They were never close with their numbers on George Springer. You know, he wound up with, what, $150 million from the Blue Jays. For the Mets to get him, I think it probably would have cost $175. So they weren't even in the ballpark of where they probably needed to be. I think that if you were to, you know, give truth serum to the Mets people and ask them if you could do it all over again, how would you handle it differently? I think they would have wound up with Realmuto because where his price landed with the Phillies was far below what was initially asked. You know, the initial thought was he was going to be aiming for something in the range of $200 million. And you can understand why the Mets wanted to make sure they filled that important position. But with 2020 hindsight, that's, in talking with executives of other teams, they feel like that's the player that the Mets should have wound up with.
Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I want to get to the Yankees, but there's a monster deal that got done last night, and that's for Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
14 at 340. I mean, just insane numbers. You surprised that they got this done so early on in his career? Is this a smart move for them?
It was very interesting last night because you text and you talk to people with other teams, and there was an incredibly wide range of opinion. Like one executive said, it was just shocked by the level of guaranteed dollars that the Padres, small market, mid-market team, put out on a player that young. This executive said, why didn't they just give him 20 years? On the other hand, I talked to people within the Padres organization who felt like, nope, this is the right player at the right time, at the right price, and he might turn out to be a bargain. And he proved it to them last year how he can make adjustments. If you guys remember, last offseason, they actually talked to Cleveland about Lindor because they were concerned about Tatis Jr.'s consistency on defense. They go to spring training. They sit him down. Here's the things we need you to work on. You know, take care of the simple plays. And he absolutely thrived. And around baseball, he's consistently talked about as being one of the three best players in baseball with Trout, with Mookie Betts. And that's saying something, that's a lot to say about a player who's 22. And one thing about his contract, no question, ripple effects are going to be felt in the Mets organization. Because now that he got 340, if you're Lindor and you're the older player and you're closer to free agency, you're looking at something, you're going to be looking for something north of that. And I think the Mets have to get comfortable with a number like 350 on Lindor.
How happy is Juan Soto right now, too, that he sees this deal? Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, switching to the New York Yankees here for a minute. Dave and I were going back and forth looking at the landscape of the American League, and we just came up with it's the Yankees, the White Sox I'm sure will be there. You got the Twins, the Astros, the A's. But in your mind, are the Yankees the best team in the American League?
Yes, and I think you absolutely framed it perfectly. Because again, there are Yankee fans who felt like, boy, we should do more. Why are we worried about the competitive balance tax? The fact is that there's been a talent shift from the American League to the National League. There are no super teams in the American League. And I think over the course of a regular season, you know, the Yankees offense will play out. And I also would put them like the Mets in the category of Watch him before the trade deadline. If Hal Steinbrenner takes the shackles off Brian Cashman, allows him to go over the competitive balance tax, I think they're going to add aggressively. There is certainly risk in their rotation, but I know internally the Yankees really feel like that the guys they have, Kluber, Tyone, et cetera, are not only, yes, they're high risk, but they're also high ceiling, and they're feeling good about that. But the fact is that the Astros have taken a step back. Oakland's taken a step back. The Rays trade Snell. They let Morton go. You know, the American League Central, while the White Sox are better, it's not a great division. So I think over the course of the regular season, the Yankees have to be viewed as the favorite.
Buster, if the Yankees don't go to the World Series, and I'll say all the way to the World Series, is this a disappointing and an even failed season when you look at the American League?
Yeah, I think we are now officially in the old George Steinbrenner doctrine is in play in 2021. You know, because they've had the near misses. They've had, you know, getting close but not having it get done. I do feel like this year for Yankee fans and within that organization, if they don't make it to the World Series, they will consider it to be a disappointing year because that's where their expectations are.
Buster, last one for me. If there was one thing you could point to with the New York Yankees that could trip them up this season and have them not reach their expectations, what would it be?
Rotation. I think that's pretty easy because of the risk. Look, you know, we've seen the Yankees in the past make these moves on guys where you think, wow, you know, that's an interesting name, and that guy could, you know, if he can stay healthy, he can make it happen. I remember when they traded for James Paxton, feeling like, wow, that guy is a great ad. And he wound up being hurt a lot, you know, in keeping with his history. When they signed Tanaka, you thought, okay, here is an absolute number one, you know, top five pitcher in baseball, and he got hurt. And when you look at Kluber, yeah, it might be that, you know, what he showed in his bullpen session will continue and he'll be healthy. Tyone, from everything I hear, he looks tremendous, but they do have extensive medical histories. And if they fall apart, you know, that's going to be a challenge for them. Now, I would say that's an area that they could definitely improve before the trade deadline.
He is the Jacob deGrom of this program, our ace number one starter. Buster, great stuff. I know you're a big snowblower guy, so good luck if we do get what we're expected to get here.
I can't wait. Embrace the challenge.
Thanks, Buster. We'll talk to you. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.